Greetings, my fellow Starfleet officers. We've returned from shore leave. I am your captain of this intrepid vessel, which I'm really surprised we haven't crashed yet. I'm Mike the Birdman. Joining me at the helm is my lovely XO.
I'm just so lovely.
Yes, I was about to say, I couldn't think of another dramatic word. I'm sorry. You're very handsome. How's that?
It's so delicious. Steve Megatron Phillips.
And yes, we are back here on Future Imperfect, This Week in Geek.net's Star Trek show, which has had an erratic schedule over the last year, but 2015, new rules, new star dates, shows when we can. We are brought to you by SFI.org, Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club. You should check them out. I'm pretty sure my membership due is coming up pretty soon. So as far as I know, we're still sponsored, but I should really get back to my Starfleet Academy studies at some point. Should do
Yay.
That. But on today's show, the Replicator is offline, but we do have the entirety of the Star Trek The Next Generation Blu-ray series up for review. I just got the last volume over Christmas, so I might give you guys a general overview of the series in terms of what the special features offer you, whether you should be upgrading or not, and the individual releases that have come along the way. Hope there's more Star Trek on Blu-ray to come this year from Paramount. I would love to see Voyager get a re-release with updated special effects and whatnot, but I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll have to wait and see. I'm sure there'll be some kind of an announcement regarding that. So in this episode, we're going to be taking a look about aliens in sci-fi, not just exclusive to the Star Trek universe. We're talking Doctor Who, Stargate, movie aliens, like maybe even the Xenomorph, aliens in popular media, such as, let's say, the X-Files. Trying to think of other shows, maybe even Battlestar Galactica, stuff like that. And kind of how aliens are kind of viewed in sci-fi. Are they a force to be fought? Are they our friends? Are they just people like an alien nation? They just happen to come to Earth sort of thing. Or are they like, you know, Independence Day, and they're here to wipe us out and take our resources? So, when we think of Star Trek, we think of the classic aliens. We think of Vulcans. We think of Klingons. And if you're a bit of a, if you're a bit hardcore of a Trekker, you would say stuff like Romulans, the Borg, the Andorians, the Breen, the Cardassians. I really had to stop myself from saying Kardashian there. I really had to try, actually.
I almost thought you were going to say
that. I know, like, I'm thinking, don't say it, don't say it. And then you get into the more obscure species, like the Horta. You can even argue the Q as an alien species, as opposed to omnipotent gods. Or, you know, you really want to get nerdy, species 8472, stuff like that. And most people, when you say aliens, they think of the ones that I mentioned. You think of Klingons, you think of Spock. But aliens in sci-fi obviously have a long and varied history. I mean, you look back at, say, Flash Gordon and Ming the Merciless, there's a big alien. You could think of the aliens from H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds, the big tripod thingies. And there is something about aliens in popular media, which I'll talk a little about later in this episode, to be bring a little bit of the conspiracy to us. Why are so many movies about aliens in the last 20 years? But anyway, so, Steve, in the context of this conversation, not what's your favorite color, but what's your favorite Star Trek alien?
My favorite Star Trek alien. It's kind of difficult for me because the humans. No, I'm just joking. That would just be a bad cop out. I would almost say the Q continuum is my number one, but that's because I really like their powers, and what they can they can do. That being said, if I were to cancel them out, I'd almost have to go Klingon Empire, just because I love their honor system, their battle, the way that they carry themselves, all of their kind of shiny garb that they have. Just the fact that they're always ready for battle, but that there are some that are more like us than like them.
For myself, and this one you probably saw coming a mile away, my favorite Star Trek alien is the Borg. Without a doubt, it's been the Borg pretty much since I first saw Descent Parts 1 and 2 when I was a kid. I saw that before I saw Best of Both Worlds. And I think it comes down to creature design. And then once I got a little bit older, I started learning about the lore of them. I started kind of realizing how much more I really liked them. And then Voyager filled in a lot of those gaps in just how the Borg work with episodes like Raven, and then introducing a character like Seven of Nine, which some might argue really demystified the Borg, and to the point where Janeway could negotiate with the Borg. But that's a whole different conversation for a different day. Anyway, though, I like the structure of Star Trek's aliens. They seem to make a little bit more sense than certain other franchises' aliens, like, say, the Mon Calamari, for example, from Star Wars. They see Admiral Akbar's people, the giant fish people, in Star Wars. There is a comparable species in Star Trek, but they're not as fantastic, I would say. And one of the biggest running jokes with Star Trek aliens is, oh, they have the funny noses or the fucked up ears. Yeah, I can't count that. I really can't. I mean, I remember in Voyager, one of the characters they introduced to be, he was a former Borg. But at the end of the day, he was just a guy with shit on his nose, was E-Chip. And I can't remember what the deal was with his species, but yeah, he just had a really weird fucked up nose. And then the Bajorans had the thing on their nose, but I guess they had the weird earrings too. But then there were species that looked near human, like, say, the Beta Zets. Though they had really weird rituals where they'd get married naked and have singing face bottoms. Or the Romulans and the Vulcans. You can tell them apart by looking at them, but you have to know what you're looking for specifically. And that always
face ridges.
Yeah, face ridges, more or less. You had to know to look for that. And, you know, there's always the big running joke with the Klingons, how in the 60s they're just guys with Fu Manchu mustaches and shoe polish, and then in Star Trek the Motion Picture or Star Trek 2, there are these they're badasses. They look really cool. And ridges, but evidently that's something with a genetic experiment. They explain it in Star Trek Enterprise, kind of, but whatever. One thing, I'm actually going to look through the book of Star Trek Aliens, and where I'm getting this is from the Decipher Star Trek role-playing game, which came out, I think, 2003. I bought this book on eBay for $10. Totally worth it. But if anybody has the main book to this, please let me know. I'd love to buy it off you. I'm looking at them, and this book has a bunch of different species. Some of these I've never heard of. And it sucks, because when people think of aliens, they think of Star Trek. And I'm just going to read off some of these people, Steve. Tell me if you've heard of some of these people. Andorian.
Yep.
Antikins.
Nope.
Enzites.
Yes.
Betelgeuseans.
No.
Bolians.
Yes.
Elorans.
Yes.
Kelvins.
Yes.
Wow. Nausicaans.
Yes.
I'm trying to find ones you may not have heard of. Talosians.
Sounds familiar. I'm going to say yes.
Tellarites.
Yes.
Vidians.
No.
Orgons.
No.
Vorta.
I recognize it.
Eridian.
Yes, I know what that was.
It's weird. I'm looking at all these species, and I've heard of some of them, but not all of them. Yet, when I look at other franchises, for example, Doctor Who, I can name a shit ton of species and not even blink. And I know exactly what they are. And that's something else, too. Like, it seems to me like, despite Star Trek being around for 40 or 50 years, it seems like people are forgetting a lot of the species and a lot of aliens that have come out of that. Which I think is really unfortunate. And I think that's the disservice of not having a Star Trek on TV, because the movies only really gave us Klingons and Romulans and the Borg. Cardassians to a very, very limited extent. And I'm not saying it was a whole lot of who gives a shit, but I can't... It sucks to say this, but I don't see a lot of these... A lot of these creatures being super, super memorable outside of, like, the big Star Trek races. Yet you look at something like Doctor Who, you can name the Daleks, the Cybermen. Let me see. I'm trying to think of other species off the top of my head. And now, of course, I fucking forget. The Autons, which is, like, the living plastics. Stuff like that. But I guess the advantage Doctor Who has over Star Trek is they can have the fantastic aliens, the ones that are really out there.
True.
Like, for example, the living plastic. Or, whereas in Star Trek, we're more likely to get a near human as opposed to a psychic gas creature, which can only exist in the 18th century or something like that. One other thing that I've noticed, Star Trek shies away from this, or at least not so much, is you never hear about a lot of mechanical-based races. And I take example with this in the episode...
Pretty much Data.
Yeah, Data. And I was actually going to bring up the episode Measure of a Man, where they determine, is Data a person? And on the back of Star Trek's role-playing game here, Picard says something to Data in Birthright, and it kind of made me think of this. You are a culture of one, which is no less valid than a culture of 1 billion. I just got to thinking about that, thinking, in Star Trek, I don't know if there's a comparison to a race like, say, the Cybermen. I guess you could compare the Borg to the Cybermen because they're both cybernetic creatures. But then I looked at a TV show, let's say Battlestar Galactica, which just has the one alien race, but it's still one that's to be measured with, the Cylons, a completely mechanical race that eventually develops biomechanical people. I guess you call them cyborgs because they're, I don't know, that's weird. They have metal spines and they glow and they all look like Trisha Helfer.
Nice.
But I don't know, that's one thing you never hear them talk about is artificial intelligence as a species. Yet in other mediums, there are other ones like that. Like I said, there's Cylons. You couldn't count the Daleks because they're partially biological as well. In essence, they're just squids inside biosuits. I know in Star Wars, there's completely mechanical races. I guess you could even count droids as their own race because there's people like the assassin droid IG-88, but even he had 5 clones, or brothers, I guess you could call them, from that assassin droid series, but you can't argue the sentience of R2 or, say, 3PO. You recognize them as people, yet Star Trek doesn't. At least with Data, they grant him rights as a person under Federation law-ish.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just one of those things about Star Trek is, like I said, I always thought it was the alien thing, because a lot of episodes deal with we're going to Telos IV to go hang out with these guys, and ambassadors from their race are coming aboard the Enterprise, and hilarity ensues. But I don't remember a lot of them, and I think that's really a failing of it. But again, I guess the object of Star Trek is not necessarily to have the fantastic bad guys that are out there to kill us. Whereas Doctor Who, almost every alien species is hostile. Or if it isn't, they find a way to deal with it, and it's not like they coexist on Earth. Like, it's not like you're going to have humans and Zygons hanging out at the same time. I really wish I had my Doctor Who book open right in front of me to pull out a few more species. Another thing that Star Trek never really deals with is monsters. True alien monsters. And think of the franchise, Alien. I do not know if there are creatures like the Xenomorph in Star Trek, a creature that's literally just an alien bug. You never hear them talk about wildlife on planets in Star Trek.
Yeah, they really don't kind of go that direction, do they?
Yeah, because you'd think with, you know, sure, it's interesting to talk about a culture's, you know, background and where they come from, but I want to know more about their biosphere, about their ecology and whatnot, because obviously these cultures to evolve, they had to come from a planet, which means they had to come from a biosphere. So, you know, when the giant probe in Star Trek IV came to talk to the whales, what built that to talk to whales? You know what I mean? And I don't know if they ever followed up on that plot thread in, like, anything else, but just one of those things, and you think of Star Wars, Gundarks, Wampas, that giant space slug thing, the Sarlacc, even Salacious Crumb, the lizard monkey. You can name easily 10 or 15 creatures from Star Wars. I can't name 5 from Star Trek, and one of them is a tribble, and that's a gimme. I can't think of anything else.
I can't either.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not trying to rag on Star Trek for that. I'm really not. I'm just thinking, for all the cultural exploration that we talk about, we do never talk about the conservative of nature. But then again, when you look at when these series were made in the 60s, 80s, and the 90s, to a limited extent the 2000s, it's not like they had a budget to build a lot of Stan Winston's workshop or ILM or anything like that. I mean, we saw a monster in Star Trek 09, the giant thing that chased Kirk, if you want to count that.
And then
as
the
something.
Thing that ate that one?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so there's two monsters. And the thing that Doc Brown fed his Klingon dog thing in Star Trek 3, I guess. So there's that. Thinking else here of other creatures and aliens. Although one thing Star Trek does have an advantage over most other ones is they do fill out the culture roles very well. Like when the Enterprise is called to a planet or whatever, you get a really good sense of how the cultures work. They always answer that question almost immediately, if not through exposition dialogue, through the episode itself. For example, you know, the Kazon are split into different houses and castes, I think. How one might rule this section and they want to claim dominance over this because they have more technology, or how the Hunter Society of the Hirogen works. If Star Trek does anything, it does societies very well. But I don't think it does aliens themselves very well, if that makes any sense.
No, that's an area I think Star Wars does better.
Yeah, because you know what a Wookiee is. You know what a Transdoshian is. You know what, I'm trying to think of other species that you would know right off the hop. Rodians, right? And it isn't until you delve into the Star Trek expanded universe that you really got a concept of how these cultures work. Star Trek didn't need that, if it has any significant advantage. Yet you look at Star Wars creatures, they're much more fantastic. You look at the Mos Eisley Cantina scene, That has more aliens on screen. The only... Okay, I thought of a scene where I could think there was a bunch of aliens on screen in Star Trek. The Senate scene at Starfleet Academy or whatever in Star Trek 4. When the aliens are attacking San Francisco or whatever. And they're all in that giant room. They're like, Kirk, we need your help. And you see a bunch of different aliens there. That is their equivalent of the Mos Eisley Cantina scene. If anybody can argue this, though, feedback at thisweekingeek.net, because I'd love to have this debate. What was Star Trek's Mos Eisley scene?
Yeah, I don't really know if it had one.
I mean, another one I guess you could argue is maybe whenever you're on a Borg cube, sometimes you'll see different species assimilated. I don't know if that counts. Because I remember there was a series of toys that came out in the early 2000s, and they had different species assimilated as Borg. Like a Hirogen, a Klingon, and all these other species assimilated. And I remember sometimes if you look on Borg cubes when they're doing that panning shot going through the different corridors, sometimes you're like, oh, look, that's a Klingon, or ooh, that's a Cardassian. When the Star Trek card game was out once again, I think it was by Decipher, the same company that makes the role-playing game here, I remember for the first Contact cards, they had different species done up as Borg. That's the only time I can think of. And I guess you can maybe make a case for any time they go to a market scene, but they're just random alien number 12 that's never given a description or a species. At least in Star Wars, when you look at the Mos Eisley scene, I can name 99% of those characters in there and what species they're from. Hell, even the giant camel-looking thing, Yak Face,
Yavis
Palace, has a backstory. And all this shit, which is admittedly pretty fucking stupid, but still.
That's the one thing I have to give Star Wars, though, props at, is the fact that their lore seems to cover every aspect, whereas Star Trek doesn't.
Yeah, and that's really unfortunate, because I've always seen Star Trek as the more, I'm not going to say intelligent sci-fi, but a little bit more grounded in reality. And that's kind of unfortunate, because like I said, I really want to know the lore of these planets, the lore of this species. I mean, I'd like to know more, sort of thing. And I guess that's up to people that write the novels or the comic books. But the only species in Star Trek that I can figure that have been totally fleshed out, the Bajorans, Cardassians, Klingons, Romulans, Vulcans... Who am I leaving out? Maybe the Jem'Hadar. And, to a lesser extent, the Changelings.
Yeah.
I mean, in Voyager, you get a really good sense of the Hirogen, because there's a number of Hirogen episodes. You get a number of different Kazon episodes and a number of different Borg. And I guess you learn a lot from Neelix about the Talaxians, but you don't really see more Talaxians until the 7th season, and even then, Neelix fucks off. So, you don't really get a sense of his people outside of him. And although, like I said, Star Trek does one thing well. It does culture, but I think, Steve, I think I just figured this out. Star Trek does culture well, Star Wars does lore well. But Star Wars does not do culture.
No.
Like, I know they try and describe how Wookiees, like, how their trials work, how they become adults. The only cult that's really covered is maybe, like, even Jedi stuff. Like, how you get trained under a master, and how there's always two Sith and all this shit. And even in some of the expanded universe, yeah, they try to explain the culture a little bit more, because I know there was a series of novels... I think it was called the Corellian Crisis or something like that, or the Black Fleet Crisis, and it all happens around Corellia. So they try and give that species a little bit more to do. But other than Jedi shit, nothing is ever really fleshed out. Although, I guess maybe the military... Okay, there's some we could even kind of talk about. If you look at how the militaries or the different organizations work, Star Trek is right down to the article. Hell, we represent Starfleet to an extent here on the show. People can live by the Articles of the Federation if they so want to. Yet in Star Wars, yeah, there's the 501st, which is the costuming group and how they follow the Imperial shit, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know whether they could tell me the differences between how the army of the Imperial Army of the Imperial Armed Forces work and, say, the Stormtrooper divisions. Then again, there's also a similar gap in Star Trek, with evidently Starfleet has Marines. I didn't know this until I played Starfleet Command, I think, Bridge Simulator back in 1995 or something.
That doesn't surprise me, actually.
Which, well, I guess I want to, but I guess lore versus culture, or lore versus societies, even. Doctor Who has only fleshed out a couple of species really well. Obviously, the Daleks are a big thing. They like to flesh those creatures out because they're pretty awesome. The Cybermen, the Weeping Angels, who are a creature that got really well defined in later seasons and how they function. But creatures in Doctor Who, they're almost always, they're just bad guys. I mean, even the Time Lord Society has not even really been fully explained, because to do so would eliminate the mystery of them. Plus, a lot of the old lore that was established with Doctor Who got washed out in the 2005 series when the Doctor created the Time War and the species was lost. Because back in the day, in the 80s and 70s, the Time Lord councils were always around. Gallifrey was always interfering with time. Hell, they banished the Doctor to Earth. They took away his TARDIS. Because it's like, hey, man, you're fucking people up. Stop it. And stuff like that. And they even had, you know, bad guys there. They had, like, President Rassilon, who came back in, like, the fourth series with David Tennant or whatever. And now the Master's back in Doctor Who as a woman. And I'm sorry if you haven't seen that far, but you've had weeks, so whatever. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other movie series where I really feel the culture or the monsters are really, really, really well explained. Steve, what do you got for that? What do you think?
I don't know. Or maybe other TV shows. See, I'm kind of having a hard time because a lot of the shows I watch are either Star Trek or Star Wars kind of related. And
maybe Stargate. Stargate dealt with it pretty well.
I didn't watch that per se, but I think that and Star Trek are very militaristic compared to Star Wars.
And whenever they do flesh out a species, they give you just enough. I know in Stargate, it's not a show I've got a whole lot of experience with, but from what I've observed, and I've read part of the role-playing game main book, the species that was based around the Egyptian people are really well fleshed out. Stuff like that. So I guess they flushed out the species they need to for that series. When I look at another series, like, say, the X-Files, to bring up another alien species, because that series dealt with aliens a lot, it dealt with more of them as a creature with an agenda, but not a society. And what I mean by that is they start out as the black oil, but they evolve into the grays, but only after there's, like, a gestation period, and they turn into monsters for, like, a week, and then they turn into the little gray people. And then there's a species of alien rebels who are, like, shapeshifters, but they put stuff over their eyes and mouth and ears so the black oil can't get inside them. Stuff like that. So they have an agenda. They want to take over the world via bees that carry a virus and makes you into the black hole. It's weird. Cool, but weird. So that's another popular species. The Cylons, I'm trying to think, would you really even classify them as aliens? Because they were creatures that we created as robots and they revolted. Do you classify them as aliens?
I would probably say yes. I mean, because you can argue Data is an alien. I mean, he was created by man.
Yeah, and he is, as Picard said, you're a culture of one. I guess the Cylons have the different, there's the warriors, there's whatever the different models are, and how they have a religion, which is literally based around God. Stuff like that. I haven't seen a lot of Farscape or Andromeda to speak to how they portray aliens. But I would imagine they flesh out their creatures just enough where there's a lot of wiggle room if you need it. Although I'm pretty sure Farscape did a lot better job with it than Andromeda, and that may just come down to writing.
Andromeda tried.
I'm trying to think of other shows or other series or even movies that really flesh out aliens well. In terms of enough for you to get a feel for them. You know what? I kind of wonder if I've got nothing on that. So,
I kind of think I got nothing too, only because I'm drawing a blank and...
We're recording this at 1 o'clock in the morning, folks, just so we're crystal clear. Now, to go down a really weird street here. Actually, no way. I thought of a series. It's unexpected, but Steve, you'll see it as soon as I mention it. Transformers.
Yeah, they're
tremendously
aliens.
Tremendously well fleshed out lore. And they are, for all intents and purposes, aliens.
That is true.
Another cartoon, actually, I think cartoon shows may actually be a really good point to start looking at this. Another show that really fleshes out aliens well is Robotech, which is an anime cartoon show that aired in the 80s when they fleshed out the Zentradi, and then when they fleshed out the Robotech Masters, and then later the Invid. But then again, I guess... Once again, it depends on the strength of the series, on how well they want to flesh it out. Hell, I can't believe I'm going to make this comparison, because it's so odd. Dragon Ball Z.
I love that show. I can't believe I didn't even think about that, because I've been watching the movies lately since I watched the...
The Battle of Gods or whatever?
Yeah, Battle of Gods or whatever. I just watched that, and I've gone back and I've started watching a lot of the old ones. Also, I'm playing Dragon Ball Z Ultimate Tenkaichi on the 360, so I've been enjoying that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at how well they flesh out Saiyans, or how well even Piccolo's Society of Namek's is really well fleshed out.
Well, and then you get Frieza and all of his... You know, I mean, pretty much everybody has a backstory.
Yeah, and They don't necessarily tell you the huge lore behind the species, but for Namek's they did. For Saiyans, they did. Even the androids, but I guess they're more robots than they are anything. Another series, I've only seen part of the first season, so I can't really speak to it, but I'm pretty sure this is accurate. Babylon 5. All those aliens, the Minbari, stuff like that, whatever species Kosh is a part of, and stuff, Babylon 5, but then again, that was meant to be a lore-heavy show, and, you know, the Vorlons, and the Shadows, and all that shit, you know, once again, well thought out, different than Star Wars and Star Trek, but equally as fantastic, though... I imagine at some point, Steve, we're going to have to do a Babylon 5 show on a Star Trek show, if that makes any kind of sense.
I'll actually have to watch that.
I've never seen it. I've seen, like I said, part of the first season, and I've seen some of the movies, and I really enjoy it. It's really cool. Mr. Garibaldi is the fucking shit, and the Psi-Corps operatives. So check that shit out, guys. Highly recommend it if you haven't seen it yet. J. Michael Straczynski, the same guy that wrote Captain Power, the Soldiers of the Future, and did a really awesome run on Spider-Man. Now, this is going to be a little bit out there from left field. Bear with me, folks. So, I like conspiracies. And aliens, obviously, people talk about them. And I'm pretty sure we've talked about this on the show before. But there's this theory, or there's a math, I guess, equation or whatever, that looks at the amount of hospitable life, alien civilization that could be out there in the Milky Way galaxy. And even Stephen Hawking, as early as last year, had said, guys, if there's an alien civilization out there, we maybe shouldn't be in such a hurry to say hi. And you may be wondering, why is that? Well, I invite you to look at history. I'm Native Canadian, Aboriginal, Chippewa of Nawash Indian. Let's just say it didn't work out too well for my people when people came to the New World back in the day. Because you were technologically superior. So imagine what would happen if E.T. showed up with an armada. And they start coming down to Earth saying, okay, who's in charge?
Yeah, that would be major ass.
Yeah, I guarantee it. We ain't gonna fucking last long. Sure, we can split the atom. That's awesome. These motherfuckers just flew across galactic distances. I'm pretty sure our nukes are gonna be a minor annoyance at best. But one popular theory that I've heard, if you hang around in some of the conspiracy circles, is if you look at the amount of aliens that have been portrayed in popular media, either as helpful or doing good things for humanity, or, you know, painting them in a fairly positive light, you have to wonder if society is secretly being prepared for the possibility of aliens. And even this has been brought up as early, once again, as last year. People were wondering if the Vatican is preparing the world for it, because I think there was a quote from last year, actually, from the Pope, that if aliens do exist, they are welcome under God as well. They're God's children, just not the ones that we might recognize. So, Steve, do you think the world could handle we are not alone?
I don't think so. I think people would lose their shit. I think that we would try and put these stipulations on these aliens, and they'd be like, to hell with you.
Yeah, I really wonder what would happen. And I really think humanity needs to kind of warm up to that possibility that we may not be alone in the universe, because I don't mean to sound like an elitist asshole, but it's kind of ignorant to think that we're the only life out there in a universe that is billions upon billions of years old and upon billions of light years wide and deep. But someone had once said this to me, and I kind of wonder if it makes sense. Maybe we just missed it. If there is alien life out there, what if it just evolved before us and they're gone? Like, literally, the phone's ringing, but nobody's home, so to speak. And that's a possibility, too, is that out there in the great cosmic distances of space, maybe alien civilizations have come and gone, and like us, they can't necessarily leave their solar systems, because maybe faster than light travel isn't possible. But then again, we look at stuff like wormholes, and we're talking about using black holes, and solar cell, all sorts of technology that we've talked about before on this show, travel these vast cosmic distances. And I don't know. I mean, I really hope humanity at some point can be ready to answer that question. Are we alone? But I think you're right, Steve. People are going to flip their shit.
We're a destructive species by nature.
We're aggressive.
We attack what we don't understand, which that's pretty much damn near all the time.
Yeah, exactly, man. It hasn't worked out too well for people, like I said, like myself, whatnot. And we look at how we treat each other, and I don't know, there was a great joke by George Carlin. I'm pretty sure it was George Carlin. He was talking about, you know, if aliens are watching what TV signals we're going out there in the space and how we can beat each other up and have all these horrible things happen to each other, maybe they're not such a rush to say hi after all. And I remember Men in Black made a joke about this too. Human thought is thought of as an infectious disease on some planets. You have to wonder. Hell, even Men in Black, there's another alien thing. But they're just funny creatures. They don't flesh out any kind of alien. But I think we've taken this as far as we really can. And it's more or less just talking about aliens in sci-fi. And I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts. Are there creatures or books or series that we've missed that really give aliens or alien life more life than what they're given on necessarily the big or small screen? Are there sci-fi series we're missing? Like, who knows? Maybe Red Dwarf has some incredible insights into their creatures. I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of it. I couldn't really tell you. So once again, if you want to interact with the show, we do have a voicemail line, which is 817-717-7202. Feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Subject line, Future Imperfect. Our Twitter is, Steve, what is yours?
Mine is at SCP21.
The show's is at thisweekingeek on Twitter. My personal one is at Birdman Dodd. We also have a Facebook, which is This Week in Geek. You'll find us on there. And we welcome any interaction to the show. In fact, if you guys have any topics for us to discuss that, you know, you think maybe you're an expert on, maybe you are an expert on Benjamin Sisko, maybe you're an expert on galactic warfare. Explain to me, why did DS9 go down the way that it did? Should the Dominion have won? Stuff like that. We'd love to have you on the show, so please reach out to us. Speaking of our next show, we're probably going to come back in very early February, and we're going to continue our series of the captains, and we're going to once again delay Benjamin Sisko. But don't worry, we're going to make it so. And we're going to talk about everyone's favorite captain, Captain Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise from Star Trek The Next Generation, the latest movies that were actually any good. We'll have that debate too. That's what we got coming up on Future Imperfect. So, Steve, any closing thoughts on aliens?
No, I think that's it.
All right, then. So, for Future Imperfect, we have been
Steve Megatron Phillips.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live long and prosper.